Do not adjust your MP3 playing device. This is Jeff Kunkel of the Popular Outcasts. I have taken over the feed for POG, Popular Outcast Gaming. This is Popular Outcast Gaming, episode 9.5, POG on the Go, Pirate Radio Edition, episode 1, that's a lot of colons. Mike and Bill decided to forget, air quotes, to add my POG on the Go to today's episode. So, I will show them and add an episode of my very own. Anyway, Bill genuinely forgot to put POG on the Go on because I recorded it like 7 days ago and threw it in a folder and figured he'd find it. And rather than re-release the episode, I figured, hey, I'll just add, just release an additional episode. A bonus content, if you will. Alright, since this is going out very, it's going out the day it's recorded, so it's going to be very up to date, I figure I'll give my impressions on E3. You already got Bill's at the end of today's episode of POG, but here are mine. I didn't pay near as much attention, because I was working for most of the announcements, and I was also watching an Apple announcement during the Xbox announcement, which, I mean, I know that Apple has very little to do with E3, and Xbox has very little to do with Apple anymore, but the fact that both of the presentations went on at the exact same time seems like a conspiracy to me. Anyway, what can we say? There's not much that can be said about the Xbox One that hasn't been said by Mike or Bill already, but, I'm going to take this time to, shocker, are you ready for this, ladies and gentlemen? Defend the Xbox One for a moment. I cannot remember the source, but I do remember seeing someone on the internet, reputable or not, I do not know, say something that really kind of hit a chord with me about the Xbox One, and that is, the Xbox One is getting punished for what everyone will be doing in 5-10 years. And this is in relation to the used game DRM, yada yada yada. This is a very valid point, and some people are a main thing the PS4 has going for it is it doesn't have DRM, and it's disc-based games, and you can just trade your games. But, ladies and gentlemen, look into the future. Discs are not a thing that's going to hang out for a long time. Look at a service that's been around for years. Steam. I own many games on Steam, nearly 100. And I know that's actually a very small library compared to many Steam users. I don't own a disc for any of them. And I'm not worried. And with the ever-increasing prominence of online stores for consoles, Xbox Live Arcade, the PlayStation Network, Nintendo eShop, all of the major console creators have a digital store. And as storage becomes cheaper and cheaper, and all of the consoles can use external hard drives, it's getting to the point where discs really aren't necessary. I know Nintendo, all of their main games are coming out in the eShop also, so you can just download them and play them without having to go get the disc. Granted, the Wii U's hard drive isn't the biggest, so that could bite you in the bottom eventually. But you can use an external hard drive, so there you go. So, and when all games have gone strictly digital, yeah, you won't be able to let your friends borrow them. That's the thing. But if this, if Steam is any example, games tend to be less expensive, and it's easier for publishers to run sales because they control the prices. And it's generally, you're cutting out the middleman of the game store or the big box store like Best Buy or Target, and it's just, you have the digital distribution service, a la Steam, PlayStation Network, Xbox Live Arcade, Nintendo eShop, and the developer. Bada boom. So, this is the way it's going. To bring Apple back up, the App Store is very similar model. You don't own a disc for any of those games, but I know many of you have poured a ton of money into buying fun games for your iPhone, iPad, Android device, Kindle, because people play games on those. Anyway, this is the way it's going. Discs are not going to be a thing. Honestly, can you remember the last time you bought a DVD or Blu-ray? I can't. I stream them via Netflix or buy them via iTunes. Same quality, similar quality when it comes to Blu-ray, I understand. But for your Joe Schmo user, that's just fine. And people, this is always the argument I get when I am preaching about the disc-free future, is, well, you know, those companies, you don't actually own those games. They could decide to just take them away at any point. And while that's not wrong, think about that for a minute. These companies depend, their lifeblood is their users purchasing games. If they take away games without notice or without reason, and that gets out on the internet at all, there will be a digital mob with torches and pitchforks at their digital door. It will be the end of them if users find out that they are just taking content away without notice, without reason. They need to maintain your loyalty. That is something that Xbox has kind of fallen behind on. So there we are. Like, the digital games are not going to disappear if the companies want to maintain their users. Now, there is the issue of, if a company goes under, what happens to your games? That I can't answer for you. But right now, it looks like Steam, Nintendo, Sony, even Xbox are not going under anytime soon. So that is my little defense of the Xbox One. They saw the way of the future. They aren't quite executing it right. It's still pretty, they're not taking their users into account. They're taking themselves and their wallets into account with this DRM. I am far more concerned about the robot spy camera that's always on and always has a microphone on that can tell when you're embarrassed, that they want me to put in front of or under my TV in the room I hang out the most in. That's my big issue. Call me tinfoil hat, but I think many other people share this concern. PlayStation, you know, they're speaking to me right now. Xbox is not. They're speaking to their core audience, apparently. The sports games playing, Mountain Dew chugging, Dorito hand high-fiving, kind of that kind of gamer, which I'll admit I had my there was a time where I was there, but I really am not anymore. I'm far more casual than hardcore, and even hardcore gamers split into different divisions, and they're pretty much specifically targeting the football watching, Call of Duty playing, chest bump doing gamers that I am not. Sony, on the other hand, is really targeting me, my core demographic, people who appreciate sarcasm and snarkiness. Sony has, in this generation's console war, kind of sat back and is now just sniping from the rafters. They take anything that Xbox particularly, because they don't seem to have a beef with Nintendo, because they know that Nintendo is... Many people are going to own a Nintendo Wii U and a PlayStation 4. I know personally that is where my house is going to be. Because they... It's not that they have different core audiences, but they fill different niches. I'm going to go to Nintendo for my Nintendo games, my Zeldas, my Marios, my third things. And I'm going to go to PlayStation for most everything else. And, like, there are games that just... Anyway, I'm not quite sure what my message is there. But Xbox One and PlayStation 4 pretty much fill the same niche. Wii U and Xbox One or PlayStation 4 don't. So that's... I don't think Sony is worried about Nintendo, because Nintendo isn't muscling them out. They're just kind of... They're good complementary systems, honestly. And while Nintendo is attempting to bring on, like, more serious, quote-unquote, gamers, and I don't really agree with that terminology, because serious... If you're serious, you'll know that New Super Mario Bros. Wii U is a hard game and worth the money. Anyway. So Sony has pretty much been just taking pot shots at Microsoft and Xbox from the back seats, and man, it is working on me. The fact that one of their slides in their presentation was simply stating the fact that their games are on discs and that you can trade them with your friends and that you can sell them back. Basically things that consoles have had since there were consoles, and that got a standing ovation, means someone at Sony knows what they're doing. They are watching what people are not liking about the Xbox One and simply stating that they are not like that. There are other things. I don't remember if Bill mentioned this, but the PlayStation 4 is going to be region-free. You buy it in the United States of America, Canada, Mexico, one of the European states, China, Japan, Russia, Australia, it's all the same console. And they can all play the same games, which is incredible. It means you can import, like, Japanese games and play them on your American PS4, no issue. This also means it's going to be able to play DVDs and Blu-rays from any region. Which, honestly, guys, why on earth are there even DVD Blu-ray regions anymore? The world is pretty much united now. Just accept that. But that's another topic. So, while I... And, okay, this is... I know they talked about this in Popular Outcast Gaming, but the how to share a game with your friends or with the PS4 YouTube video that Sony put out is a great all-in-one summary of the attitude they're taking for this whole thing. I'm pretty positive they shared that on the regular episode 9 that released this morning. I will double-check, and if not, I will share it. Just watch it. It's 22 seconds, and it perfectly encapsulates the way Sony is going about marketing the PS4, which is, look at this simple thing you can do that you can't do on the Xbox. Uh-huh! Nintendo, on Tuesday, also had their E3 talk. Nintendo Direct is what they're calling them. not a whole lot of surprises, just a lot more information on games we kind of already knew were coming. Super Luigi Wii U, which I will get because, man, that game looks tough, and it looks like I'm going to want to throw that $160 controller across the room, but that's why I play a Mario game, quote-unquote Mario game. This will be a Luigi game. Pokemon XY, I mean, I already got it pre-ordered. That game looks like the Pokemon you imagined you were playing when you were playing it on the Game Boy Color. Super Smash Bros. Brawl 4 with Mega Man and Villager from Animal Crossing. And also, later in the same day, they announced another newcomer, which was the Wii Fitness Trainer, which I think is just hilarious, and Nintendo isn't taking itself too seriously, which, I mean, it never really has with the Smash Brothers series. And there will be more and more featured new characters released. A lot of this news is out there. A lot of this is old news to people who are really keeping up, but I'm just running my summary of it. And there were, like, Pimpkin 3, things we all knew were coming. We just got trailers and more info. So this has been my take on E3 in general. A little defense to the Xbox, although they're really... It's going to be very interesting to see the numbers. Because according to the outspoken minority, no one is buying an Xbox One. I don't think that's true. I think they'll probably be fine. They've got a pretty big core audience. But I know that it has really rocked the foundations of a lot of people who have only sung praise of the Xbox. And we may find a lot of Xbox Ones returned. We'll see. We'll see. Only time will tell. And, I mean, the console isn't released yet. And a lot of these policies are simple software things, not hardware. So, they could easily be like, okay, our bad. We're going to do the same thing that you... We're going to do the thing you want. That is still not going to take away the spy camera that they're placing in everyone's house. But, we'll see. Now, what am I playing? I am currently playing Bioshock 1, still. I absolutely love that game. I say that every time I record one of these, but it is not a lie. I just got a plasmid where I can shoot angry bees at my enemies. So, I mean, come on. Awesome. And I am also playing Animal Crossing. Now, Animal Crossing New Leaf... I know that Mike Bennett is also playing this, and he will probably speak about this at length in next week's episode. Animal Crossing New Leaf, you are the mayor of your town, and that adds a unique element to the game. I can't speak much on this because it is my wife's 3DS, which we share, but I mean, it's in her name, and she honestly is a bigger fan of Animal Crossing than I am. I enjoy the game, but she loves the game. So, she is mayor. And if you're curious, if more than one person plays on the same console, only one person is mayor. You don't have multiple mayors. So, I am just a resident of her town. So, it is very similar to just any of the last Animal Crossing games for me. Which I don't mind. I don't mind. And, I mean, granted, all the shop inventory is all shared, and, like, all the trees and dig spots are all shared. So, if she's been playing for 4 hours, and I come and play for one, absolutely everything is gone. So, it's gonna... it's gotten to the point where I've got to give it a couple days till some things refresh before I have anything to do in the game. But, honestly... It's more her game, and she honestly has more time to play it, so I don't mind. The other game I am playing right now is on my iPhone and iPad, which is Pinball Arcade. Pinball Arcade is... how to describe it? You know what? I don't have to. Pinball... the reason I am playing Pinball Arcade is because I heard it reviewed on our other gaming podcast. What do you know, guys? We have two gaming podcasts. The Portable Power Podcast comes out once a month, on the first of every month, and I highly urge you to listen to episode 2, where Emery's does an in-depth review of Pinball Arcade. It is a stellar pinball simulator. And I say pinball simulator because what they have done is created full 3D reproductions of classic pinball cabinets. So you're not just playing on the table, you're playing with the whole cabinet. And it's tough to describe, but Emery's does it very well. And he spends a lot of the review talking about one of his favorite pinball cabinets, Mars Attacks, which has been represented in this game. And he describes it as being very, very, very similar to playing it in real life. And I honestly, I'm going to say I was a bit skeptical, but it was worth giving a shot. And while I found my quote-unquote Mars Attacks, which is Circus Voltaire, I don't remember where I played that cabinet, but I do remember playing that cabinet a lot. And here's the kicker with Pinball Arcade. You pay for your cabinets separately. And once you play them, you'll know why. There was a lot of hard work, blood, sweat, and tears put into faithfully reproducing these pinball cabinets. But you can demo any of them. So it's a lot of fun, and you can still get it. And if you are buying it on iOS, I recommend getting the 99-cent version, not the free version, because you get a free table with it, Arabian Nights. And tables come in two packs for about $5. So if you're getting one table for $1, I highly recommend that, if you have the extra dollar sitting around. But not a $5. Anyway, so I purchased the Circus Voltaire / Funhouse table combo, and now I have three tables, and I play them pretty frequently. It is my toilet game of choice, and I absolutely love it. And for a very in-depth review of the game, go to the Portable Power Podcast, Episode 2. I highly recommend listening to the entire episode, but I believe it is the second half of the episode that has the pinball review in it. Word of warning, while this podcast is a clean podcast, Portable Power Podcast is an explicit podcast. So those of you with sensitive ears or little ones nearby that you believe they have sensitive ears, do not listen to this out loud. There is swearing and whatnot. This has been Popular Outcasts Gaming. Little bit of a slip up there. Popular Outcast Gaming. Pog on the Go. Popular Outcast Gaming, : Pog on the Go, : Pirate Edition, : Episode 1, : That's a lot of colons. I hope you enjoyed this bonus episode. Yeah, I hope you enjoyed it. I'll see you next week. Hopefully I am in studio with the guys.